Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness endures forever. When we think about God, especially this month that is celebrated as Thanksgiving, making gratitude a daily practice is like taking a vitamin. It's like taking an actual vitamin, making your body work better. Grateful people spent 30% more time exercising, researchers say. Thankfulness reduces stress and anxiety. Gratitude causes the brain to release feel-good serotonin. Gratitude blocks negative emotions like envy and resentment because you feel both thankful. You can't feel both thankful and envious at the same time. Think of one positive thing that has happened this week that you're grateful for. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Would you please join me for our call to worship? This morning it is adapted from Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite scripture passages. We're only going to do a small section of it together. So you'll see men respond, women respond, and leader. O Lord, you have searched us and you know us. You discern our thoughts from far away. You search out our paths and are lying down and are acquainted. O Lord, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Let's pray. God, we come together today to worship you. We've shown up to be your people, and we want to hear from your Spirit and to learn to live like your Son, Jesus. We pray that you would fill this place with your presence so that we cannot help but know that you are here. We need you. Our world needs you. Your church needs you. We hear your word calling us to remain faithful and hopeful when so many signs around us point to despair. Life can be a struggle. Anger can beget hatred, which begets violence, which begets more violence. Lives are upended and our peace is shattered again. But you call us. You whisper our names. You invite us to stand in the gap and to speak up for those who have lost their voices. To name and resist injustice, to tell the truth in love. Lord, meet us here in our worship today that we might listen once again for your voice and for the words of peace you speak to our lives and our hearts. Amen. Let's sing together.
Good morning. In your blue hymnal, please turn to page 89 for the beauty of the earth.
Oh.
Next, in the same hymnal, turn to page 377. Healer of our every ill. And page 76, praise, I will praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Time for children's story, if the children want to come forward and join Frank.
Hey, you guys, if you sit down here and look up at the screen, okay? You don't have to look at me today. This is kind of a children's story for everybody today. It's not even a story. So I want you to look at these pictures really close, okay? Because I'm going to ask you some questions about these pictures. See this guy here, this old guy from China? Go ahead, Joe. And this guy from Afghanistan. Look close at these guys because I'm going to ask you some questions. Let's go to the next one. Huh. Yeah, it's a baby, isn't it? Let's look at the next one, Joe. This is actually a very famous picture of a girl from Japan. She was on trial, and that's the face she made at the judge. Let's go to the next one. Look at that. She's got a pretty headdress on, doesn't she? This girl's from Burkina Faso, by the way. So let's go to the next one, Joe. Ha! Where do you think he's from? Do you have any idea? Alaska, that's right. He's an Eskimo, an Inuit. Let's go to the next one. Yeah. She's from Afghanistan. Let's go one more. Ooh. That guy looks kind of scary almost. Do you know where he's from? I do, and now I can't think of it. Mongolia, yeah, he's Mongolian. You're just in time. Let's look at the next one. Wow. Look at her eyes. She looks intense, and boy, is that a pretty scarf. I'm not sure where she's from. Let's look at the next one. I know this guy. This guy's president of Iran. He's a very interesting man. I'd like to talk to him someday. Let's go to the next one. Do you guys know who that is? She's pretty famous. She lives over, or used to live over in India. She lives in heaven now. That's Mother Teresa. That's Mother Teresa. Let's look at the next one. Easy. Donald Trump. That's our president. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. I shouldn't say this, but he kind of reminds me of Rick just a little bit. Rick Kaufman. Just a little bit. Look at that. Let's look at the next one. He looks like he's singing worship. Let's look at the next one now. There. This is another boy. This boy is from Burkina Faso. I'm going to stop right here for just a minute because those are the important pictures. I got a couple more I'll show you later, but they don't count. So what do all these people have in common? What's the same? Let's start different. What's different about these people? What are some of the, what's the difference?
They're wearing different clothes.
They're wearing different clothes. That's good. What? They're all from different places. One world, but different towns, different cities, different countries. Yeah. Skin color. Yeah, they've all got different skin colors. I always like to say yellow, black. How's the song go? Yeah, I go red and yellow, black and orange. That's okay. Go ahead. All right, easy. Anything else? Any other way you can think they're different? There's some pretty big things. Some are boys and some are girls, right? What's another difference? Some are really old and some are really young. So now I want to ask you a different question. How are they the same? What's the same about them? Yeah. They're all people. That's right. Anything else? Yeah. It's pretty close. I know a couple of them that are up there that didn't have a house for a while. But yeah, most of them have a place to live. What else? Go ahead. What else? That's not even an answer. There you go. Anything else? There's a saying I learned this weekend. I learned it from Matthew. He's going to Burkina Faso. Now I got to remember if I can say it right. Ba-keelin, fa-keelin, something like that. It's important the way you say it because he told me it can mean one of two things. It can mean same father, same mother, or it can mean something about the insides of a goat. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Your mother has the insides of a goat, something like that. I don't remember what it was. No, this saying means they all have the same mother and same father. That's kind of crazy, right? Isn't it? Can you imagine all these people having the same mother and the same father? That all of the people that we looked at are all from the same person. You think so? No, it's kind of a mystery. You'll have to have your grandmother explain it to you. We have a saying in Christianity that's just like it in a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, one Father. So these all have one Father. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about this morning. I'm just about done. Have you guys ever, that's the whole lesson actually, but this part's just a little bonus. Have you guys ever wondered what God looks like? Have you wondered what God looks like? He has wings? He doesn't have wings?
No.
No? You've never wondered what he looks like. When I was your age, I always wondered what he looked like because he was supposed to be my father. And we were supposed to create like, and I found some pictures. I didn't get them all up there. I'm kind of disappointed because my favorite one's not up there. But here's a couple of things that artists, ways they think of what God looks like, our father. Let's go to the next one, Joe. Think he looks like that? Yeah, I don't think, who looks like that? This is what, I think Michelangelo thought this might be what God looks. He looks a little angry for me, but Michael might have been right. Let's look at the next one, Joe. This is the same one, but he's doing something here. He's separating the sun from the moon, I think, but I don't know. Let's look at the next one. You don't think that's what God looks like? All that power and all that mystery and all that cloud. I kind of like that one. I got one more, I think. I like this picture of God. It's got a Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus seems a little distracted by something there. I don't know what he's thinking. Anyway. So let's pray real quick and we'll go back. Lord, help us to remember that you are our Father, and that we are all brothers and sisters, and that we are to love each other in that way. Amen.
Our scripture passage will be very familiar to you, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, if you will read with me. This, then, is how you should pray. Please join me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Matthew.
Good morning. There are just a few things I want to say before I get into my message this morning. Thank you, Becky, for bringing the scarves that people had already brought, some that ended up in my office right over here. And if you've brought scarves for Don and Kelly and I, or lip balm or any other things like hats or sports shirts or anything, please make sure that they go there before you leave today. Also in the very back is a note, a letter, that you are welcome to sign. I ran it by the pastoral leadership team. It's a letter of greetings and blessings to our brothers and sisters in Burkina Faso in West Africa, where Don and Kelly and I will be going as of Thursday this very week. So please consider signing that on the way out. Either side of the paper. Just feel free to write it anywhere. There should be some space for plenty of names. Just a few other things. You know, the pictures of God that you had, Frank, reminded me of a story I remember about a little girl who was drawing with crayons on paper, and her mother asked her, "What are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And mother said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." And the little girl said, "Well, they will when I'm done." You know, and God made humanity in the divine image, and we've been returning the favor ever since. Also about the phrase, I'll explain a little bit more that. Jula, the Jula that Becky and I learned over there, is a tonal language, so you have to be really careful. And the phrase is bakelin fakelin, meaning same mother, same father. If you goof it up and say bakelin fakelin, you're saying we're all filled with the same goat. Or that's the best they can figure out about that. So you have to be careful with the tone in that language. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. As I'm on this series about Christ being formed in us and God at work in every stage of our development until the fullness of when we see God, and we are like Him then, I'll ask you to think about, when was it that you first embraced, you first knew, you first understood, hey, I'm an adult? When was the first time you really finally said, whoa, I'm an adult? And while you're thinking about that, I'll tell you when it was for me. I think it was a clinic somewhere, and the nurse came out and said, "Mr. Swara," and I looked around for my dad. "Is my dad here?" "Oh, that's me." Previously, I'd heard "Mr. Swara," you know, like, "Mr. Swara, did you even study for this test?" Or, "Mr. Swara, did you even practice for this concert?" But when I heard, as like one adult talking to another who's willing to serve, "Mr. Swara," it's like, I guess that's me. Now, anyone else want to share when it was that you said, I guess I really am an adult? Anyone? Maybe I should start by asking, are there any adults here? Yes, okay, Ken.
I'm going to tell on my brother Doug. He just leaned over and said, "Some of us aren't there yet."
Maybe I should restate that. Adult enough to take some adult roles and responsibilities. Yes, anyone who says, "I've got it all down," that's not adult. Okay, Carol.
Well, you'd think my answer might be when I got married, but I think when the reality of it really set in was when we brought our first child home from the hospital. And I remember going, whoa, this is mine to be responsible for. I think that was kind of a defining moment of, there's no way getting out of this now.
That was one of those moments for me too. Anyone else? Yes, Serenity.
I think it was when we opened our home for the food pantry. I think I realized what I had committed myself to. And I realized I can't get out of this. Like I morally and, you know, it was like one of those things where I've committed myself to my entire community. What have I done, you know?
Okay, that's a very good tie-in with what I was going to share. But anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, think of the young man that you saw that Frank, the picture showed of the young man from Burkina Faso. Let's call him Sibiri. That's a common name for guys in Burkina Faso and Mali and Ivory Coast. And up to the age of about 12 and a half, 13, he's considered and treated like a child, and he has the life of a child. And the most stressful things in his life are going to school, which is in French, or spending the summer rainy season with other young guys out there with slingshots around their necks to protect their crops, the millet, the corn, and the sorghum, the vine crops, from birds and monkeys and warthogs and other varmints. So it's just kind of a carefree childlike childhood life until all of a sudden one morning over breakfast, his uncle and two other men from the village come and grab him by the wrist and take him out into the middle of town where there's about a dozen, 12 to 15 other boys his age, sort of looking shocked and surprised. And they're marched down the road together a fair distance and then off on a trail into a grove of mango trees where they've never been before. And there's this big mud brick hut and maybe some kind of shelter with branches where they're going to spend the better part of the week having their endurance and their courage and their patience tested by various things. They'll have to, like, spend a night up by themselves out in the woods. They'll have to spend a day or two fasting. There'll be races and other things to test their patience and endurance and to learn to put up with stuff. And then there'll be teaching, sometimes at night around the fire, about what's expected of you as a grown man. What are your roles and responsibilities to this community, as well as your rights and things like that. There might be some painful physical things. That might be when the circumcision happens, or they might even carve scars on their faces to indicate their tribal identity, so that everyone else who sees you knows that you're Senefo, you're Siamu, you're Bwamu, because of the scars on their faces. And then at the end of that week, they're brought back. These 12 to 15 guys who left as boys and children are now men, expected to start taking on and trying out and learning and doing adult roles and responsibilities, as well as having adult rights. And it's very clear, a sudden change. So Sibiri knew that he was an adult, or expected to, by his community at the ripe old age of 13. That's what initiation is like for, that's how you know in that culture when you are an adult. And all that also happens then is now they have certain roles and responsibilities, covenants and commitments, like what you were talking about, Serenity, for the community, but also to each other. These 12 to 15 guys who have gone through initiation together are age mates. Now, and they will be almost like a tribe within the tribe. They'll show up to do each other's field work. They'll help each other with various things. If Sibiri gets a job in the major city, one of his age mate comes and wants a job there too, then Sibiri will put him up and feed him until he succeeds at getting work. Any number of ways that they'll show up for each other, be there at each other's celebrations or at funerals or any number of ways. If you care, you'll be there for your age mate. And even though they're not all brothers of each other, they'll call each other Ba Kelin, Fa Kelin. Same mother, same brother. Or Balimau, people of the same mother, even though technically they won't have the same mother necessarily. So that's when Sibiri first knew. There's something similar for women as well, called initiation. Some similar things happen then too. And this is where I better pick up with the prepared text. So out of that initiation, they learn two very important things for being an adult. They learn who they are, and they learn whose they are. They belong to the village. They belong to the community. They belong to their age mates. Now, in the big cities of Africa, this practice of initiation is going by the wayside. There's just not the same kind of community there. But also, as Islam and the church grow there, both Christians and Muslims feel some mixed feelings about these initiation rites because, yes, they learn a lot of well-tested wisdom there, but they also learn some things related to sorcery and secret sacrifices and spirits and such. But still, our friends in Burkina Faso would say that both youth and the community need some way for people to learn, to practice, and to take on adult responsibilities and restraints as well as rights. And they would say it's as soon as your body starts to become adults, say in the beginning of puberty. And the community also needs to know, so when can we expect of you some adult rights or roles and responsibilities? Now, what do we have in common with in this culture that matches such a transition from childhood to the rights and responsibilities of adults? High school graduation, perhaps? I think our Burkinabe friends would say that if your community and your family do nothing intentional, positive, serious about guiding and marking this movement into responsible adulthood, some kind of initiation will still happen. But you might not like it. The very people and the things that you least want to have doing the initiation in your community, in your family, with your children, will do it for you if you don't. But it'll harm the community more than it'll help. Like Madison Avenue marketeers and advertising, like Hollywood, the media, the music world, pornography, your friendly neighborhood drug dealers, big corporate tobacco and alcohol, military recruiters, rabid political partisans and culture warriors of the far left and far right, white nationalists, racial supremacists, the bullies on social media or talk radio, and more. They will be very eager and happy to present a way of, or a community, some guidance, a tribe, and a worldview if the family and church will not. So let's don't look down our noses at Sibidi and or that culture and call his initiation experience primitive or barbaric or tribalistic. Did we not just go through something of a tribalistic ritual complete with barbaric threats and magical incantations and painful trials and secret code messages? It's called an election. And are not our supposedly, quote, advanced Western civilizations sort of devolving, degenerating into hyper-tribalism with each tribal identity strengthened and provoked into conflict over by social media and by political parties? Our tribes here are just bigger. They have more money and deadlier weapons. And at least Sibidi's community has these initiation rites to try to help people become more responsible and courageous and conscientious. Ours, I'm afraid, tend to make us more childish, dependent, and fearful. And so we in America have what the psychologists and the sociologists increasingly call an extended adolescence, from about like 12 to 30 and above. So one way or another, we have this in common with Sibidi and our friends and family of the faith in much of West Africa. Some sort of initiation into adulthood. Will we let the markets and the media do it by default? Or will we do it intentionally to help Christ be formed in us? Remember how in 2015, our Vacation Bible School raised money for 3 years worth of young women's Christian seminars in Burkina Faso. Christian life seminars. That is a specifically Christian form of youth to adult initiation, but without anything occult or secretive or physically dangerous or abusive. And one of the major church leaders there, Siaka Traore, who's also on the Deacons Commission for the Mennonite World Conference, makes apprentices of high school and college age youth in his business of selling paper and school supplies in various markets all around the country. And that's to teach them also leadership, initiative, and responsibility, and entrepreneurship. And the very last and the very first and most important lesson that he teaches each of them in this business is integrity. Now, our brothers and sisters in the churches of Burkina Faso would say that, so yes, we do indeed share with them a very special, important initiation rite into the global family, the global village, the global tribe of Jesus. And that is baptism. And everything we teach in preparation for baptism is to guide us towards responsible Christian maturity in adulthood. Baptism marks that moment when we promise a mature Christian relationship and life with each other and to each other, and when we can expect it of each other. And with our Burkinabe friends, we remember and we renew the lessons and the meaning of that baptismal initiation regularly through communion, the Lord's Supper. And because of those initiation rites that we share, the Christians of Burkina Faso would also look at us and call us Balimao, or our mother's people, our mother being the church. And we and they then can expect the same sense of solidarity and identification with each other that they do, or that they did, as age mates in initiation. And by the way, this coming year, Zion's pastoral leadership team wants to help us all focus more intentionally on the vows, the meaning, and the practice of membership and of baptism, and not just for children and youth. But every time that we and our age mates in the Burkinabe Church pray, and every time we pray the Lord's Prayer in particular, we're confessing that together with brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, we are that Ba-Kelin, Fa-Kelin. Same mother, same father. And that's why our age mates in Burkina Faso have invited fellow Mennonites from all around the world to come celebrate their 40 years of existence and growth. 40 years of growth, yes, in numbers of members and numbers of churches and of Bible translations into different tribal languages, but also growth in their own leadership, growth in their power and gifting for ministry, growth in their impact on their part of the world. And in the short time of 40 years, they have gone from being a mission work of French and North American churches to being now a missionary church of equal standing with all other global churches in the Mennonite World Conference, with all their age mates in that conference. And that most important lesson of childhood, who we are and whose we are, is all there in the opening words of Jesus' signature prayer. It starts with, "Our Father." So who are we? We're children of Jesus' heavenly Abba, an Aramaic term of endearment that he used for God. Abba, or Daddy, is what it means. We are called to be and invited to be Abba's children, along with Jesus. And we are Abba's children, along with our age mates who pray this prayer and mean it all around the world. And confessing then this same God as Abba all across the world means a great deal to those Christians in Burkina Faso, because so many of them have lost their family ties, their tribal connections, even their initiation age mates, because of their new Christian faith and their baptism. In some Muslim and in some traditionalist families, they are disowned when they become Christian. And it's amazing how their non-Christian relatives may understand as seriously as I hope we do the meaning of baptism. One thing they commonly hear when they're becoming Christian is, "Whatever you think about Jesus is not my business. It's okay by me. Just keep it to yourself. Not my business." But don't take the step of identifying with Jesus and the church by baptism, or then you're no child of this family. You're no child of this village. You're no age mate of ours. Sometimes, though, what happens is that the families will take them back after a few years when they see the positive changes in these people's lives. You remember, it was this summer that our Vacation Bible School raised money for a motorcycle for the church planter in Bobo-Dioulasso, Pastor Samuel Traoré. And he came from a Muslim family and was disowned for a couple of years. But after a couple of years of the family watching him, his Muslim father said, "Do you realize that he is now a better Muslim than when he was a Muslim?" And so he's been embraced back into the family. And Don and Kelly and I will visit one church in the bush where the new Christians faced persecution because they would not offer the ceremonial sacrifices of goats or chickens to the spirits of the land before they began planting. And by the way, don't call that primitive either. In the Western world, we think that the sacrifice of thousands upon thousands of young men and women in industrial-scale warfare guarantees our prosperity and security. Tell me what's barbaric. But after some friendly, respectful visits and negotiations with some church leaders from around the country, that village and that chief finally allowed to let the Christians plant. And after seeing the good harvests come in and seeing the way, again, they related to the rest of the village, they not only tolerated them, but they embraced them, and some have joined. And if that particular story sounds vaguely familiar, you may remember that it was in the prayer section of our bulletin a couple of years ago. Because word about the plight of these new Christians went out through Mennonite publications and throughout the Mennonite World Conference, and fellow Mennonites all over the world prayed for them and sent messages of support. And when the people of their own tribe and village were rejecting and resisting them, we did what their initiation age mates were expected to do, to support them in whatever way we could. And what a contrast that is this morning to the intensifying fear and the hostility and the tribalism that we're seeing all the more here and around the world. Tribalistic conflicts have now driven 65 million people all around the world into becoming refugees and exiles, seeking asylum elsewhere. And this resurgent tribalism is denying them entry or denying them dignity in places they try to go to find refuge and asylum. But by contrast, there is one tribe, one family, one nation, one association of age mates who are open to people of every tribe, tongue, and nation, a people whose vision is to be a community of family, age mates with people of every tribe, tongue, and nation, where they can all live together in peace and dignity. Whatever their customs, whatever their clothing, whatever their culture or their language, these people enter into adulthood in this tribe through the same initiation, baptism. And that baptism also marks them, like those tribal scars, before all the powers of heaven and earth as members of the Jesus tribe. And on any given Sunday, and at many other times, people of this intertribal tribe identify themselves and declare themselves, their identity in this tribe, and their common loyalty to each other with the very words of Jesus, beginning with, "Our Father." And they show up for each other. While Becky and I lived in Burkina Faso some years back, we heard a story about how not to be a good age mate, how not to be a good neighbor in your tribe and community. It was about a very wealthy man who always and only sent money to others whenever there was a birth or a wedding or a funeral or some other major life event in the village. Now, giving money is a good thing, and it's part of what you do there. Or if you don't have that, then you send food. But you'd better have a really good excuse for not showing up personally and to give something personally and to receive something personally, too. At the very least, they'll bring you a glass of water, maybe a glass of tea, some food, or there'll certainly be an exchange of thanks, gratitude, and blessings. But you have to show up personally. And the man in our story, who only sent gifts of money, died one day, and his body lay in the courtyard for the longest time while people threw money over the courtyard walls because he had violated the first rule of being a member of the village and a member of that age-mate initiation group. If you care, you'll be there. And that's what you all are sending Don and Kelly and me to do and to be in Burkina Faso for our baptismal age mates there. To show up at their invitation in this their time of celebration and show again that we are Ba Kelin Fa Kelin, same Father, same Mother, with Jesus and with everyone who prays. And would you pray with me, please? That those same words, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's worth praying at least twice today.
Turn with me to 306 in the blue hymnal, 306. And let's stand, get up.
Would our ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let's pray together. Lord, may your kingdom come down a little closer to us through the giving of our time, our talents, and our tithes. Amen. As we begin our prayer and share time, I'm going to invite Matthew and Don and Kelly to come up first, and we're just going to have a prayer for them, protection, safety, that this is going to be a very fruitful trip for them. So I want to invite anyone that wants to come up here and surround them for prayer. We'll do that at this time. And then we'll move into our prayer and share time. I say let's place hands on them wherever you're standing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that Don and Kelly and Matthew can participate in this celebration anniversary with our brothers and sisters in Burkina Faso. And I thank you for the friendships that Matthew and Becky have developed over the years with this congregation. By their actions and words, make them witnesses of your great love as they meet and greet others. We pray for travel mercies, for your protection and good health with them in their going and coming. And fill them with the Holy Spirit to enable them to do their tasks faithfully and joyfully. And we ask you bring them home safely, that their experience can further enrich us, so that we too will glorify you by serving our community in the love of Christ. As they go to bless, may they be a blessing. Amen. And we want to pray for Becky today as she holds the fort down while Matthew's away too. So we'll remember Becky in our prayers. Anyone else like to share this morning? And Micah, too, as he holds the fort down, yeah, at home. Serenity.
Hi, everyone. I have another youth announcement for the MYF, and I guess all of our youth technically, but we are doing another fundraiser. So thank you again for all of your support for the last fundraiser with the ice cream bar. I hope you all read that we made like $2,500. It's a great start for our goal. So I don't know if we've filled in. Oh, yeah, looks like somebody filled in to where we got. But anyways, two fundraisers. One is the leaf raking this Saturday. So if you know of anyone who would like their yard raked by some youth and parents, and if anybody would like to join us in our raking expedition, that would be great. We are taking donations for raking leaves. You can also gift that to someone. So maybe you want to gift that to someone you know who can't rake their leaves up. Also, we are also doing another fundraiser on December 2nd, I believe. It's in there. Okay, December 2nd, we will have wreaths by this wonderful little lady, Juanita, my little friend here, who makes lovely wreaths. We will have 50 wreaths that she is helping us. She's giving us to them at a good giving them to us at a good price so that we can sell them to make some money. So $25 each. And if you want a wreath and you want to get on the list, I guess. No, I'm not even going to take names. On December 2nd, if you want a wreath, come buy one. So those are the two announcements, I believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, Toby and I will be making our first driving trip down to New Mexico this week. If you would keep us in your prayers for dry roads, we'll be driving down 2 days, spending 2 days, and then driving 2 days back to deliver some of Kendra's wedding stuff that got left behind. So keep us in your thoughts for dry roads.
I did get a call from Gene yesterday that he wants you to know he's doing well. He's out walking a little bit, recovering, I think, faster than he anticipated. He is open to having visitors, so he's doing really good, and said thank you for prayers, for phone calls, for cards, for thoughts, as he's recovering from quadruple bypass surgery. Yeah. Richard.
Yes, I'm really grateful for the bar ministry. Boy, I tell you. He's helped me heal mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I'm in the process of being totally healed soon, hopefully.
Thank you. Stacy?
This is Stacy. Karen and I are looking still for one primary Sunday school teacher. So I'm hoping that God is prodding one of you that is here today, or maybe one that will listen to this later. It is teaching a class of five-year-old boys, and there are five of them, and they are little gems. So if you have interest, please pray about it and talk to one of us. Thanks.
Anyone else like to share? Do you have your hand up, Andy?
So again, we're collecting turkeys for the Jubilee Food Pantry. So last year we gave 103 turkeys away out of our garage. The request went out last year as well for the small kid pools that we can put them in and store them in prior to the day before. So if you have something like that, please get a hold of us and let us know so we can. We need like probably three or four of them. We have one, and I think we have another one that someone pledged to us, so we just need a couple more. And it's in the bulletin as far as donating a turkey, either Monday, I think that's the 19th, and then the 20th is the Tuesday, the day of our food pantry. So one of those 2 days, if you deliver it on the 19th, it needs to be frozen so it can make it to the next day, and then on the 20th, you can deliver it either frozen or thawed. So before 4 o'clock, preferably. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to share? Okay, well, let's go to prayer together. Lord, eternal spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, father and mother of us all, we lift our prayers to you this morning. We ask that you would, for travel mercies and protection for Toby and Chris as they visit their daughter Kendra. Thank you for the bar ministry that is happening in Canby with Richard Caton's leadership and desire to reach out to those in our area. We give you praise for the healing process for Jean Gosho. Thank you that you have given your protection and care over him. We pray for Judy as she continues to look after Jean. The hallowing of your name echoes through our universe. May the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. With the bread we need for today, Lord, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love now and forever. Amen. I want to transition here for announcements. We've already had a few announcements, so this is your time. Please note in your bulletin this blue sheet that Worship Commission is asking for you to fill out, so that we know some of the songs that you appreciate and enjoy in our worship. We want to have a list of songs as song leaders are going to be leading on a Sunday, that we can remember your favorite ones. So please note that. Also, next Sunday we will have a hymn sing. We will be in the gym and not in the sanctuary. There will be some sharing around Thanksgiving theme, gratitude. It'll be a little more informal. There will be some activities for the children to do during our time of singing, so don't forget that. Anyone else with an announcement? Okay, we'll have our sending song.
Please stand and sing number 418 in the Blue Book, 418. I do have one more announcement. You are all welcome to come to our Thanksgiving feast. It's at 5 o'clock, Baker Prairie School in Canby. It's a great way to get to meet your neighbor from a different culture and spend time together. It'll be quite a feast. 418.
Go into the world doing what the Lord requires, living with kindness and justice, walking your path humbly with God, then you will find yourselves blessed. Go in peace.